Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the World Series of Politics podcast, where two heavy hitters in the political, legislative, and regulatory space take swings at the curveballs thrown at the gaming sector by legislators and regulators around the world for IGB. We've got Brendan Bussman and Grant Iden stepping up to the plate to discuss the hot topics in this space from across the world. Let's play ball on another episode of the World Series of Politics.
Welcome back to the World Series of Politics podcast. I'm your host, Brant Iden, along with my co-pilot, Mr. Brendan Bussman. Brendan, how are you, my friend? It has been too long since we've had one of these shows. What have you been up to?
As is always the case, as my fellow co-pilot, you know that I'm on a plane more than I'm anywhere else.
You're home today, though. You're home. I mean,
as you and I talked yesterday, I had the false alarm of went to the airport and turned around. I'm on that same drill today.
Okay.
And I know it's something we're going to talk about later of what may or may not happen in my home state of Nebraska along the way, but have been on the road a lot. Obviously saw you briefly in July while I was on the road. But otherwise, just pounding the pavement, trying to get the good word of gaming in our industry out there. How about you?
We are indeed. We are indeed. Well, you know, it's summertime, slow down a little bit, so I haven't been on the road as much. But I know things will pick back up in the fall. And, of course, we have a very busy legislative season upon us. But we've got so many things going on right now in the world. We've got Brazil going on. We've got your home state of Nebraska. I saw some news on Macau the other day. But today we're going to talk about Missouri. We're in the great Midwest. And we have got a wonderful guest, a longtime friend of mine, Stephanie Bell, an attorney from Ellinger Bell, and based out of Missouri, based out of Jeff City, of all places, which I have to admit is probably one of my least favorite cities to lobby in. And I don't take that the wrong way, but that's a tough state capital for me.
Stephanie, Brant, for those in the Midwest, I apologize for interrupting, Stephanie. There's a reason we call it misery.
Whoa.
North of the Mason-Dixon.
Oh, yeah. I would never go that far. That's brutal up to our guests.
I have to defend Missouri. Of course, I think we've been voted more than once as the nation's most beautiful state capital. So if folks haven't had an opportunity to visit, I would invite you to come along. You can see the county courthouse out my window. I'm just about a block from there, and it really is a beautiful state capital. And I'd invite everyone to come take a visit.
There you go, Brendan. So you just haven't enjoyed the show me state enough. So
we have only agreed the bookends and in Columbia. So that's
right.
It.
There you go. All right. Well, let's just jump right in. I mean, obviously, big exciting news today. There's going to be a ballot referendum. We're excited about that. Voters are going to get the opportunity to bet on sports betting in the state of Missouri, the way I like to say it. Right. We're going to go to the ballot. We're going to see what happens. But Stephanie, why don't you start a little bit about, give the listeners a little bit of background as to how we ended up here, where we are, and what we may see going forward.
Sure. There's been a lot of interest in sports betting in Missouri over many years. Obviously, we're surrounded by states who have all adopted and legalized sports betting. And folks in Missouri are just crossing the line and placing those sports bets, essentially. The problem is, despite what seems like a lot of support for sports betting, we've run into issues in our legislature. Not all of those have to do, and in fact, many of those issues don't have to do with all at gaming, more about who's running for what office and other issues and that measure getting tied up. There's been a lot of issue with compromise with respect to we've kind of got the VLT industry, we've got the illegal machines and sports betting. So when we are really talking about gaming and not something else, those three factions tend to have been thus far unable to agree on a path forward. I think so. The folks in favor of sports betting, having banged their head against the wall for many years over at the legislature, have decided to go directly to the people. And in Missouri, the initiative, we're kind of famous, like California, Colorado. We have a very active initiative petition process, and the legislature certainly can refer a measure to the ballot. But in this case, some of the teams got together along with some of the operators, drafted a measure, went through that process, went out and collected signatures and turned in signatures in May. And what we're seeing now is the secretary's certification of those signatures.
You know, obviously, ballot initiatives are never easy because you're limited in what you can and can't do and how you structure it. You know, maybe talk about how this proposal, you know, deviates a little bit from some of the previous legislative debates. You know, I remember being down in your wonderful state capital of Jefferson City back, you know, in the early days of this going.
With your friend, Mr. Hoskins, Senator Hoskins, I know that you've had a lot of conversation with them.
You mean the hijacker? I was trying to avoid the Hoskins.
I had to bait you into that. Okay, keep going.
You did it. You caught me real quick. That was an easy one. You know, but talk about how this proposal, what it actually would do. So what, you know, as you know, the potential for Missourians to go to the ballot, and we can talk about some potential legal challenges still ahead, but what's in this measure that Missourians would be voting on?
So in the past, like I said, there was the legislature really tried for some compromises that typically combine some sort of sports betting proposals with something to deal with VLTs and something to tamp down on the illegal machines. This is essentially a pure sports betting measure, and it would authorize the Gaming Commission to go out and issue sports betting licenses. They would come in the two separate forms. You would have essentially a retail sports license, and that would include for one for each of the 13 existing gambling boats, and then plus six sports districts. And those districts are essentially where our stadiums are, so a location-based sports district. So those sports districts would be allowed to apply for one of those retail sports licenses. On top of that, there would be a mobile license, and there would be the Gaming Commission has reported that they would expect 19 applicants for retail sports wagering licenses. Again, that's the 13 existing licensees plus the six sports districts. And they would anticipate that there would be 14 applicants for mobile licenses. The mobile licenses are available, again, to the boat owners, the existing licensees, but also professional teams or their designees, as well as two mobile licenses that are essentially untethered to sports wagering operators.
Right. Now that's interesting. So appreciate sort of the clarity on all that. And it will be an interesting question. And I do want to have that discussion with this group. But let's go back to sort of what you mentioned, Brendan, which I think is important. And Stephanie, you said you've seen this in the legal world quite a bit. You think there still could be some potential challenges forthcoming, or there's the let me rephrase that. You don't speculate on that because I'm not going to ask you to do that. You're saying there could be potentially, based upon what's happened previously with ballot initiatives in the past, right? Sort of historically, there's always been challenges with these sorts of things.
Historically, there is a lot of ballot litigation in Missouri. And so once the signatures are certified, it opens up another litigation window to sue on the ballot measure over the signatures or sometimes over the language. And for folks that are familiar with Missouri, in fact, there was a legislatively referred measure from 2022 that the courts just invalidated, in fact, this spring over police funding. And that was over ballot litigation. And then essentially it went back on the ballot for a revote in our primary just this August. And so ballot measure litigation is very active in Missouri. And so and this cycle, we expect this to have four initiatives on the ballot. That would be, and this is not the only gaming measure. So that would be an increase to the minimum wage. Like many states, Missouri is expecting an abortion measure to appear on the ballot. And then right now, Missouri is capped with the 13 existing licenses. And there will be a measure on the ballot to essentially allow an additional license at the Ozarks.
I was going to bring that up at some point, and I'm glad you did, because I know the Ozarks license has been talked about for, gosh, several years. I'd have to go back to see how many, but this is the first time that also has been on the ballot of what that looks like. And remind me, that has that gone through the legal challenge off of that? I mean, obviously, you mentioned the four that are on there. There's a host of states that are also looking at other ballot initiatives, but you know, when does the ballot need to be certified accordingly so that, you know, every challenge has been exhausted and we know, hey, here's the campaign that's going to start on these potential four issues?
Certainly. So the Missouri has 2 weeks no excuse absentee, but the actual deadline backs up well before that for military ballots and absentee ballots. And so we're really looking about 10 weeks before the election for that ballot. Now, this litigation, anybody who's running a campaign will go ahead and start that campaign despite any sort of ballot measure litigation. There's not time to essentially get the litigation concluded and then ramp up your campaign. They will really go, once they're certified, that typically kicks off the proponents and opponents campaign.
That's going to be an interesting process. I mean, I don't want to, and I know, Stephanie, you've been working on this differently. So I'm going to probably pose this one to Brendan a little bit, but feel free to chime in, but I don't want to put you on the spot here. Brendan, from the polling that I've seen, this is going to be tough. And as Stephanie just sort of articulated, there's a number of other questions on the ballot. A couple of big ones that I see potentially driving voters to the ballot, just historically speaking, from a political perspective, the abortion question that Stephanie mentioned is just always one that will bring both sides out on that issue. That is always welcome. So I think it's going to be a heavy turnout would be my guess. And I don't know. I mean, I think this one's going to be tough. Obviously, from an industry perspective, and Fanatics is, has not been a part of this conversation the way other operators have been. We want to see this get done, but I think it's going to be tough. I don't know. I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful. What are you seeing out there, Brendan? And Stephanie, again, feel free to chime in, but I don't want to put you on the spot.
I'll let him go first.
I love how you did the pitch out, as opposed to the handoff. That's good. Brent, you talk about the politics of this, and you're absolutely right. This is a challenging political environment, not just because of what else is on the ballot, but you also have this little thing called the presidential election that continues to be ever-changing.
I've been reading something about that.
There have been a couple articles over the last
month. Somebody tweeted recently.
Yes. Yeah, there's that too. I can say, and I'm going to sound like I'm dating myself here when I say this, but I can't remember more October surprises in July than what we had in the month of July along the way. And I'll borrow the term October surprise because you always wait for that one in a presidential year to say, hey, here's what's coming. Here's what's going to happen, so on and so forth. And I still don't know what that is. And I know there's one that exists. What it is, I don't know, but I just know there's always one that comes up somewhere in there. So there's a lot of game to be played, as Stephanie talked about, sort of that 10-week window, from a political process. That's also a hard, condensed window for you to get your message at when you're in a tight race. This becomes a turnout model. This becomes about how do I, identify and get those people out that I know I want out. For those that may not be positive on my issue, how do they either skip it because they may be turning out for the presidential race, they may be turning out for, the other ballot initiatives that are out there along the way. So it becomes a very, thin line for you to ride along the way and navigate through. Anyway, just because it's a short cycle and it's always, I say in politics, and we know this also from legislature, it's a lot easier to die a death of 1,000 cuts and vote no than it is to say why on the positive. We've seen a few of those come in and kill some bills over the course of time. Hoskins is one of them that's done it over stupidity as well over the course on sports betting. But it's been one of those that, you've got to have your numbers up pretty good just so you can withstand the storm that's coming.
And I will say one thing about Senator Hoskins. He was elected, or he is now the Republican nominee for Secretary of State as of last week. So that, puts him outside of the Senate. So the question I think also going forward is, with him not in the Senate, does someone pick up his role in the Senate on that issue? Or would there be a potential in the legislature going forward with respect to gaming? I think we might see, obviously, depending on what happens with the vote in November, and then once they come back in January, I think there might be avenues that weren't available before. With respect to the polling, Brand, I wouldn't say, I'm not going to speculate exactly. I haven't seen, I don't know what polling you've seen. I've seen some public polling. I know we were, the public polling I saw was polling the Republican governor's race. So I think it was overweighting Republicans there a little bit. And it showed, so that was a Remington poll. I think it was showing like 60% no. I think that's not exactly what's going to turn out in November. And so if you look, there was a more recent Emerson poll that had a lot of undecideds. And in that poll, I think it was much closer. I think it was showing 38% supported legalization and 35% were against it, but still a lot of undecideds, and you have to break through the noise. I think there are some challenges in Missouri. And Brendan, I think you kind of brought this up. It's a constitutional amendment, and there are folks out there that they don't care whether it's sports betting or whether it's, you know, Crown Taylor Swift, the princess of Missouri. They're going to vote no, no matter what. It's just, it's, they always vote no on everything. So that's, you know, that's a barrier number one. And then also certainly there are just voters in Missouri who are anti-gambling for whatever reason. And that's, so you add that no vote on top of it, and that's a challenge. But I would say the opportunity is in Missouri, like other states, and initiative petition reform has been a really hot topic. And so you go to states like Florida, where they require something more than just a 50% vote. Here in Missouri, you only need that 50% threshold. So certainly that's an opportunity that could have been foreclosed by our legislature, or that has been foreclosed in other states that's still available in Missouri. You don't have to get that higher threshold here.
It is going to be exciting. This is, you know, as political nerds, I just enjoy this sort of stuff. We've got Brendan. I'm looking at the clock, shot clock here. You've got 2.5 minutes left. Since we're in the Midwest, Stephanie, bear with us. Brendan, give us a quick rundown in Nebraska, just because we have been talking so much about Nebraska recently in the press. I know you've been spending a ton of time there. Give us a quick rundown as to what you see and what you predict.
That's a very good question. And as I sit here, the legislature is meeting right now. To give people some background, Governor Pillen called a special session to deal with property tax reform. He viewed it as a crisis. And so he called everybody back after their 60-day session earlier this year at the end of July. As everybody continues to ask me, because they look at Nebraska and go, well, do I say this to Senator so-and-so or Representative so-and-so? I said, it's only representatives. We only got one house. We're the only unicam in the state. We're one of the only unicams in the world. The funny thing is they're senators and they meet in the old house chamber. So for those of you that are visiting Lincoln along the way, the other question I always get asked is, well, when does this end? There is no end. They could end in 5 minutes, or they could be going for, till November 5th. Just depends on how long they go and how long they want the clock to run. As it relates to sports betting and other gaming related issues, sort of the two things that have been debated is, one, in the governor's package that has, you know, been out there, the skill-based games issue is being dealt with. You know, that's one that previously back in April began being taxed at 5%. The governor's looking to raise that to 20. And we'll see what happens with that in the overall package. But what's not included in the package has been sports betting. And there have been a host of different bills that were sorted. There were 5 gaming bills, 1 that dealt with fantasy, and 4 that really dealt with sports betting in general. The committee voted out 1 of those 5 earlier this week. It is for the CA because they view that there's a constitutional change to try to put this before the voters. That would allow mobile sports betting in the state. As we all know, retail exists today. It exists in 4 locations to date. It is not a strong revenue generator, but it does do some. But we'll see what this legislature does. Right now, I don't see a floor debate on sports betting, but it all is contingent on what happens with this current package. If things blow up, as I've said to everybody earlier today, and I'll say after we get done with this, all bets are off. Over what happens next, and it's a free for all. So maybe it sneaks in there, maybe it doesn't. But I will say that, you know, achieving the 30 votes for a CA is going to be difficult, about as difficult as the numbers that are promising along the way with revenue.
Wow. Okay. All right. Strong statement to end it right there. But look, by the way, this is exciting August, right? I mean, here we are.
It is. We're normally bored.
We usually don't get this many fun things to talk about in August. You know, it's usually our downtime. Yeah. So, Stephanie, thanks for joining the show. By the way, my favorite Missouri attorney, Stephanie Bell, joined us today. She did a wonderful job. Thanks for bringing us up to speed. This has been another episode of the World Series of Politics podcast with Brad Eyden and Brendan Bussman.
Thank you all.
You've been listening to the World Series of Politics podcast with Brendan Bussman and Brent Eyden. We'll be back at the starting line very soon. This has been an IGB production. For the latest news, views, analysis, and data on the global gaming industry, head to igamingbusiness.com.